Here's part two of the July 15th, 2007 Jimmy Don't Podcast.
Has to come in on everything.
I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
Janet City, man.
Jack Rhodes show. It's just got to have his own show. But you know, it actually, speaking of shows, you know, we met with Josh Kushner on the 4th of July. Uh-huh. We actually are going to, it looks like we're going to get some serious, big time, actual airtime in
LA.
In LA.
Yeah.
In the Valley.
Maybe,
he's got 150.
Who and Josh?
Tell
our listeners why.
Our friend Josh has got $6,000 worth of unspent advertising money that he has to use some way, shape, or form. He says it's going to buy us a couple of, two or three hour shows out there.
Something like that.
Really?
Yeah, like
in
once in LA, in the Valley, right. In a 150,000 watt station.
Oh, we love the Valley.
We love the Valley.
Are they going to fly us out there to do the show?
No. We do it from here.
Yeah, do it from here.
We do it from here, and it's like...
Oh, me go to LA? What, are you out of your mind?
Yeah. That's an invitation to an earthquake.
Wait, I'm with, right, exactly.
I wouldn't go either.
No, anyway, the point is...
So we do the show live here in Florida?
We do it. Well, I don't know if we're going to do it. Actually, we might do it live.
Let's do it live. Yeah.
We have to do, it'll be like a regular show with advertisements.
Jack
and
just
like
doesn't
that.
Want to be edited is all.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, I have to understand.
Hey, Josh, make sure they have a 20-second delay.
Yeah, right.
7 seconds probably won't cut it.
Yeah,
he rants longer than 7 seconds.
He can curse longer than 8 seconds.
But I mean, that could put Jimmy over the top, you know? That could be. Jimmy would be over the top.
That's right.
Anyway, I did want to talk in the second part here. Welcome back. Mm-hmm. Pope.
Pope,
I love this. This is to me is really stunning. The Pope says other Christians are not true churches. Now, one of the things that I did find interesting this weekend on C-SPAN, they had the Atheists National Convention.
Hmm.
And apparently there's
why bother?
Well,
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I guess.
We all don't believe. There's no real reason to meet,
no,
is there?
They're trying to put their religion. Jimmy really admits to Jimmy's an atheist. I have no problem with this.
Uh-huh.
But it is interesting to see that it actually went on C-SPAN. I just wonder if they're going to get any flack about it from people. One of the books I think I've mentioned previously is the one by Christopher Hitchens called God Is Not Great. Which is a fabulous book, a really, really good book. And the other one that I haven't got yet is by Dawkins, Richard Dawkins, I think his name is. And he's also written a book about religion, about how it's a non sequitur and so forth. Anyway, but I thought what this article brings out, is so cute.
And do you know the alternate title for this article was?
What?
My God can beat up your God.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, you wonder sometimes when both sides of a football team sit down ahead of the game, and do a prayer.
Right.
I mean, what?
I thought it was this.
You talk about random.
We won because God was on my side. And, you know, it's like, well, what happens when you lose? Will he give you up then?
You talk about
the other guy better?
Well, what gets me about this is you talk about somebody that is random. I mean, God bestows his benevolence. I mean, it's just so, you know about
it's
a random
actually the
number.
Definition of random.
It's definition
it?
Of random. I mean, there is no rhyme or reason to any of it. It's so funny. But he says but what I love, the Pope's coming out and saying the other Orthodox churches, says Orthodox churches were defective and that other Christian denominations were not true churches. I mean, can you imagine?
And you know what the result is of that? I mean, the net result is that they don't get saved.
Right. They don't get saved. I mean, they're going to hell.
And here's a guy whose view is so narrow
bouncing
that
them back
all
down.
Other views lead to damnation.
And you think about it. I mean, you wonder, when you go to hell, I guess, do you meet up with all the guys that blew themselves up and they're virgins?
Yeah.
Or whatever. I mean, you wonder. The dichotomy is so, quincotomy. It's a hexotomy. I don't know how many times there is.
And thank God opposites. For the separation of church and state.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Anyway, he also wanted to revive the old Latin Mass. That apparently came up with some people were a little upset about that. The criticism among Protestant and other Christian denominations because it said they were not true churches, but merely ecclesiastical communities, and they did not have the means of salvation. But, and of course, the other, you had to be able to, what you had to do is be able to trace, your bishops back to Christ's original apostles. So, religion, basically, God didn't exist. I don't know what happened before, 33 or 44 or whatever it is AD, But I guess prior to that time, what happened to all those people? Nothing.
Yeah, well,
died.
And they get to go to like purgatory. I think the official story is they get to.
Is it purgatory or limbo? Limbo. Kids get to go to limbo. No, that's true.
The kids get to do the limbo.
Sitting here in limbo.
That's right. But anyway, he still wants to be friends with all these people here in the temporal community, in the local community, and while you're still alive, he wants to have fellowship and worship together and so forth and so on.
With you and, damned people.
Yeah, that's right. You're damned. But they don't recognize the primacy of the Pope, so they're wounded. And I just thought it was interesting that this guy, I mean, what a joke. Here's this from a guy whose church didn't acknowledge that. Let me put it this way. For 300 years after Galileo, this church still thought that the Earth was the center of the universe.
After Copernicus?
Yeah, after Copernicus. No, after it was proven that the Earth revolves.
You are here.
Yeah. No,
dude,
I mean,
really.
Ptolemy was wrong.
No, it was not until the 1930s that Galileo was absolved. As you know, in his last couple of years, I think he was spending under house arrest with anklet or something like that, electronic monitoring or something.
Yep.
Like Paris.
Yeah.
Like
shock collar.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. And so it went until the 1930s they said, oops.
Thank God the Pope no longer has an army.
Like,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
You're thanking God.
Thank God the Pope has no army. That's all I can say.
No, it's just, I had to laugh.
I mean, they hauled his butt in from Italy. You know, he had to go to like Spain or someplace, or he had
Who,
to go to
Leonardo.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know where
hundreds of miles. He had to go to like the Holy Roman Emperor Center or someplace. I mean,
well, of course there was competing popes back then too. I think I'm not sure, but there was like
Istanbul, not Constantinople.
Well, there was Istanbul, then there was also
they weren't competing.
In southern France, there was
they were the same pope. Person. They were deemed to be the same person.
Deemed to be. Well, of course, what I like about this is what they always do. They said that was the devil talking. we were under hypnotic spell of the devil that time, and so that didn't count. And just that's
extreme
how they get out of
hypnosis.
No, that's how they get out of it. I mean, I don't know the exact words that they use, but they said
it was do over.
They had a do over. That's right.
I think
apparently this Vatican II, whatever it was, which was in 2000, they said, well, you know, the 1962 to 65 meetings that modernized the church. The erroneous interpretations is what they call it. Reminds me a little bit of our own Supreme Court. You know that.
Well, hey, it happens. You revise your former opinion.
Okay. even though the former opinion was the word of God. You know, and God misspoke. You know, the all-seeing, all-knowing, never make a mistake, God.
He made a mistake.
Sorry, that's right.
No, I think it was his agents. There was the people here made a mistake. The last guy, that last Pope guy.
Yeah, well, what did he know?
John Paul II.
Yeah, I spit on his grave.
John Paul II could beat Benedict in a game of tic-tac-toe. That's how bad Benedict is.
Right? I tell you, that's if you lose tic tac toe,
you're hurting.
You're a hurting Pope. That's it.
He whoop him up in Celebrity Deathmatch.
MTV Celebrity Deathmatch.
That's right. They had the thing on Monty Python, I think, where the popes were fighting it out, didn't they, or something like that, or the old. A lot of the old philosophers or something on the soccer field.
Oh, right, the soccer field.
Yeah. So that was cute.
Well, I like this related story. The L.A. church settles for $660
million. and of course, speaking of people that didn't get the death penalty, the archbishop, as opposed to the regular old bishop, the archbishop comes out and says, excuse me, sorry,
oops,
here's your $660 million, go away.
What happened? What'd they do?
They got sued for all the child.
Shit out of all. Excuse me. They molested the scum out of stuff. And when I say that, I mean that literally. That's what they did. I mean, they were and six,
yeah, and those people they just go ahead, y'all just keep going. Never mind.
Yeah, excuse me. Didn't mean. Sorry about ruining the lives of all the people.
Yeah, they're going to go back and get some of those guys. I think there's been $2.1 billion in payouts by the Roman Catholic Church since all this stuff started in the last few years. Wow. And this is the biggest one by far. This is four times as big as Boston.
What gets me, of course, is that people are still going into church and still giving them money for this.
Hey, man, he just said he's the real church.
That's right. And of course, his
archbishop. I just said it.
Yeah, and his archbishop friend said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Done.
Look, he confessed.
Done, and done.
He came over to the Vatican and he confessed and kissed my ring.
Good enough for me.
Good enough for me.
Hell yeah. I tell you, these people make Michael Jackson look
all's
like
good.
A prince.
Oh. I mean, I'm saving the children.
Ching, ching.
Honest to God. Okay, well, so that's. I thought that was, I mean, you look at the whole thing, the whole religion thing here, it's just, it's, to me, it's it's just hysterical.
Well, flyingspaghettimonster.com.
No, that's exactly. Flying Spaghetti Monster. Why not? Good enough for me.
That's it.
So anyway, right. Moving on, I want to tell you, this article caught my eye. This is Musharraf, who is the head of Pakistan. He's the military head of Pakistan. Defends the raid that ended the Red Mosque siege. Now, for those of you who don't know, over there they had a bunch of people who were apparently terrorists, or they said they were terrorists. Anyway, were holed up in this mosque. And after like 8 days or something, they raided it, killed a whole bunch of people, women, children, didn't matter. It reminded me, of course, obviously.
The Davidian Compound.
The Davidian, which was 51 days before they went in there and killed everybody. And that, of course, was right.
How long did the Pakistanis wait?
8 days, I think.
It's like China.
Yeah,
man.
8 days. Yeah, right, exactly. You know,
China,
we're 51. I spit on your 51 days. Excuse me, Jan Arena.
We just opened fire from the police precinct.
Well, of course, but I thought that was interesting. Of course, there was at least 87 people dead and some women, children, who knows what all. In Branch Davidian, there were 79 people dead and 20 or 30 of them were kids. Of course, that was just unbelievable. But just prior to that, I don't know if you know this, but about a year, not quite a year, 9 months ahead of that was the Ruby Ridge, mm-hmm. where they had also, that was 10 days standoff at $1 million a day, and then they decided to wipe them out. So that's, you know, that was for ostensibly having a sawed-off shotgun, death penalty, excuse me. No, death penalty, your wife and unborn child.
Mm.
So that's
oops.
It. Yeah, oops, right. No, not even an oops. No, they got promotions for that. Promotions all around, plaques for everybody.
Plaques.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, they said, but I love this. The government said up to 60 fighters were holed up inside the with an untold number of hostages. So 87, whatever it is, killed. Yeah, obviously, you don't have to do the math here before you figure out there was some collateral damage. Part of the deal was the reason they were in trouble is that they'd kidnapped six Chinese women and a Chinese man from an acupuncture clinic that also provided massages that they claimed was a brothel.
Oops. No, the old Chinese massage.
Yeah, the old Chinese massage. Well, I thought it was interesting, you know, when they talk about puncturing, I guess this is...
Ooh!
Yeah, something along those lines. Anyway, grief quickly turned to anger at the government. People accused... This is the other thing that happens. People accused the military of playing down the death toll, which I wouldn't be surprised. Having a beard is now a crime under Musharraf, said so-and-so, Sheikh so-and-so. And Musharraf has done this to please America, is what he said, to, you know, kill all these people. I guess... He wanted to pretend that he was in
Waco. Stay on our good side.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me about this, what happened, they had a couple of suicide bombings right after this. People were pissed off about the fact that they'd done it. And in order to show how much they were against death, they went out and blew up some people.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a little bit of it's been showing on a couple of the TV, the cable show, the old, Robert De Niro series, the Mafia, what's the Godfather series.
Okay.
The Godfather series. In one of the Godfather series, I forget which one it was. I think it was the third one. They show him down in Cuba. And Robert De Niro or somebody down there says, you know, this is right before Castro took over. It was like they got out as in the movie. They got out as Castro was taking over. And one of the guys turns to the other and says, you know, I think this revolution might succeed because I saw a guy in the square. Now, this movie was made, you know, 20 years ago or something. I saw a guy in the square, rather than be taken alive, pull out a hand grenade and blew himself up. And to me, this has always been one of the marks of you. It seems to me you have to be very careful when you find true believers of any stripe that are willing to blow themselves up, you know, kamikazes
for the cause.
I think it gives one pause.
Well, it's certainly a very powerful wave of attackers. And did you notice that Bin Laden's new tape's out this week?
Yeah, oh, what about that? I didn't
see it. Well, he's only on it for a minute and a half or something.
Okay, out of a 40-minute tape or something.
Right, right.
Okay.
But what he advocates is exactly that, martyrdom. And he repeats it over and over.
He's not, of course, not the head of the line.
Well, not him yet. He needs to, no, he needs to be there to spread the word.
Well, they always do this.
He's still alive? What does it look like?
And now they said
this on YouTube or what?
You probably can. They said it's verified in terms of its age.
He's still alive.
Right. It's like less than a few weeks old. And it uses some older clips, but it also uses some new footage, which they estimate is just a few weeks old.
God, it's amazing what you can do with Cool Edit Pro.
Yeah, you know, easy as in...
I mean, Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut Pro.
Final Cut Pro. I mean, it's amazing what you can do. No, I look at that stuff and think, where are you on this? When people are starting to blow themselves up in this,
you don't want to be on the aircraft carrier.
No, not when the planes are showing up. No, I mean it tells you something about what you have to do to defeat. Now, of course, with Japan and the aircraft carrier, of course, you actually we had a larger bomb than their planes.
Mm-hmm.
We nuked them.
Right.
So that we showed them.
Right.
But unfortunately, these guys are spread out all over the world. It's a little hard to nuke them without taking a tad of collateral damage that might get upset at you. And that's the other thing is that you wonder when you start to they were talking about this as far as torture and these kind of things. When you take the when you have collateral damage, do you piss off more people than it's worth? At what point have you pissed off more people than
right? I believe we've created more terrorists than we've killed. We've killed a bunch of them, but.
I do, and I'll tell you, this, again, it comes back to my thinking, and Ms. Jimmy totally disagrees with you on this, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I would have to spend a little more time on this. I believe that after 9/11, of course, we fought back, but I think, and looking back on it, and I've always said that if let the market figure it out. And as always, we know the...
Have you said that before, Jimmy?
I'm telling you, if just from day one, you don't have the TSA, you don't have any of that stuff, you don't have any of the restrictions on freedom or whatever, you can go to Cuba if you want, you can go to Afghanistan if you want, the market will figure it out. And you think about what the death toll is in this thing. There was a couple of billion dollars lost, or certainly a couple of billion dollars lost in trade and everything else. Stock market, interestingly enough, is way beyond what it was 6 years ago. For what that's worth, wait around, it all comes back. But you lost in material goods, you lost a lot. You lost 3,000 people plus who knows what. And not to mention the collateral damage that was there with the firefighters and the lung cancer and who knows all what all that stuff is concerned. But in the global scheme of things, in a 280 million people person population in a country as big as we are, I mean, it really wasn't that much. I hate to say it. It wasn't that much. And what I'm wondering is, in order to protect whatever might be the next dirty bomb, let's say they blow up Omaha. I mean, hello, Omaha. Do we have any listeners in Omaha?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, okay, we're not Omaha then.
Somewhere we don't have any listeners.
Pocatello, Idaho.
Right, right.
Canada,
that's right. We don't have it. That's right, exactly right. We don't have it. We were gonna auction off this phone, but there's been any caller from Canada. But anyway, let the market figure it out, and I think that it would all work out. I honestly believe that. I certainly believe that air travel would be faster and safer than it is today. I have no confidence at all in TSA and all the crap that we have to go through, not to mention the billions of dollars that it's costing in wasted time.
Right, right. Well, that's the thing. It's like you sent us an article about how certain security officials in New York and D.C. were going to get their new disbursement, and they were upset because it didn't rise to the standards that or the level that they had wished.
Yeah, it's never enough. Again, I'm wearing my Jimmy Don't t-shirt, of course, today, which I
yeah,
love.
That's
if
great.
You could just see, look into the mic. I'm holding up the microphone here.
Yeah, there it says.
It says, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
Ronald Reagan.
And of course, on the back, it's got my official Jimmy Don logo, which is, thank you so much, Councilor Curtis, for having these put together.
Woo-hoo.
So, anyway, yeah.
The graphic on the T-shirt is a gun pointing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I showed it to them.
Oh, right, all right.
They saw that.
They saw it.
For sale on our website, by the way.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't have many left. We're going to have to get, like, real shirts made.
These are, like, iron-ons from...
Yeah, exactly. 10 washes.
Super sugar smacks.
I'm taking this one to K-Fest, though.
Oh, all right.
I'm wearing this one to K-Fest. You can bet on that. No, this is going to be great. I'm gonna love this. I'll be out in Kansas City.
It's a good thing it's not NJ-Fest.
Oh!
Yeah.
Huh?
New Jersey.
Oh, yeah, New Jersey. Yeah, right. This would probably qualify as something that looks like a real gun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
going to
give that shirt
to
a 17-year-old, and you're going to jail.
I'm going to jail, that's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so these shirts are not available in New Jersey.
Yeah, so check your local statutes to see if you can wear this shirt.
Our shirts are illegal in 14 states.
Apparently, they're illegal in 7 states.
And 3 commonwealths.
That's right. Not allowed to be. If your zip code is one of the following.
Man, we could sell a lot of them.
We should just print that on the damn T-shirt. This T-shirt is illegal in these states.
Yeah.
Just print it right on there.
We'll put it on the website.
Yep.
Am I done with that?
Sure.
Okay. The next thing I had was, speaking of I guess we could ask. I meant to ask Bernie about this from UK. I saw where Borders.
We're asking him right now.
Yeah, Borders in UK has decided to shelve the Tintin book. I don't know if you know this, but Tintin is a book that's a series, like the Hardy Boys, only it's for kids. And Tintin in the Congo from the children's section of British stores after a customer complained that the comic was racist. I didn't realize this, but Tintin is a series.
Isn't it about a dog or something?
Yeah,
that's Rin Tintin.
That's Rin Tintin. No, Tintin is, I forget what Tintin is. It is, if Tintin in a, let me just see now.
I thought
it's like, not a dog, I don't think. It's.
Sounds like a China guy.
No, oh, I'm trying to think it's.
Chinese dog.
It is two people, and I think it's a guy. It might be a guy and his dog, but Tintin is the guy. Anyway, Tintin in the Congo, and apparently what they did is they slammed what people in the Congo look like. Interesting enough, the guy that wrote this was from Belgium, and of course back then it was the Belgian Congo, and they put the black people in the Congo as like monkeys and stuff. So this was a very racist, as you would expect. Anyway, they series 23 adventures tracing the adventures of Tintin, an intrepid reporter, and his dog Snowy. Kind of interesting. I guess that's a white dog. The series has sold 220 million copies worldwide and been translated into 77 languages. So apparently it's a fairly popular kids book. And so anyway, Tintin in Congo has recently been widely criticized as racist by fans and critics alike. So anyway, it all figures then. Borders agreed to move the book to the adult novel section, but said in a statement to continue to sell it. But I thought it was interesting that one person complained, and Borders, this shows you the response. One person complains.
This is like a freaking, you know, this is a kid's book.
I know, but wait a minute. Here's my point. The market, okay? Yeah. Think about it for a second. Borders, UK. One person complained, said, this book is racist. Borders says, fine, we're history. We're out of here. We're taking it away. We're putting it over in the
cover your ass.
Well, you can say that. My point is, the response was instantaneous to please the market. Nobody got hurt. No regulations had to be passed.
No need to force
it. No need to force it. It was just that simple. Done. And this is like what the market. This is what the market does. Nothing needed. I mean, to me, it's phenomenal to see how quickly. I mean, it's interesting that this actually made a headline in a way, except that it had to do with race, I guess. But other than that, people don't understand how quickly the companies that are out to satisfy the customer. What they will do, I mean, they will do anything to satisfy the customer. And you don't need a third party standing over you to tell you how to do it.
No toy guns.
So
it's like when I went down and complained to the DMV, and then they made all these changes to better accommodate me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, I didn't like my picture, so they took another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure. Hey, oh, you don't like that one? Oh,
yeah. In the striped suit, is that what you mean?
Yeah, that was exactly right. Well, the other one, unfortunately, had one eye was slightly darker than the other.
Swollen shut.
And there was a slice on my lip with some red stuff leaking out, but other than that, it was a pretty good picture. That's it. So anyway, I'm done. But anyway, I can't stress too highly how fast the market does, and it's still not fast enough for many politicians, people that are in control. If they'll just wait a little while, sometimes it will all work out just fine.
And here's another point that correlates this in the last story with the DC monies. You're talking about letting them trust the market. It can never be enough for something like security. They can always make an argument that there's not enough money spent on security. So, I mean, here's the question is really, what situation is there too much money being spent on education or security or the environment? And there's only one situation, and that is where there's a finite amount of money, which is reality.
Well, they continually, this is what upsets so many of the politicians, of course, is they continually bump up against this silly thing called reality.
Right.
And that pisses them off. They wish that they could, and they do distort reality just for a while. But ultimately, I was reading Ludwig von Mises the other day, and in many ways he said that no matter what you do, ultimately the truth, i.e. reality, will come back. It will swing back to the truth. You can't avoid it. That's nature. That is, you know, the Earth does revolve around the sun. Sorry, whether you like
it
or not.
You can deny it for 300 years.
Pope, you know, that's the way it works. So the interesting part is that when you think about relations and what makes life good and what's made life great for us, the material life for us, it's been capitalism. It's been the division of labor and private property. Those are the things that are the founding concrete blocks underlying everything, the bedrock, whatever it is. And to the extent that when you realize that most transactions are between people, that is, I go into Belk's or something like that and I buy something from, but then suddenly there's a third person involved in this transaction. Well, you know there's going to be a cost involved. And I'm thinking, well, what is this person doing here? I don't need you. I don't need you in this. And yet we are forced into those transactions so many times. And I'll give another example, the way you're forced into something. Here locally in healthcare, we've got a tax that I'm paying. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I don't want to be in that transaction. You got poor people. You got some people that qualify for the healthcare here locally. You have to fill out like a 35-page questionnaire or something in order to qualify. But I mean, I wouldn't qualify. But there's a couple hundred people here locally that do qualify. But I'm paying for it. So I'm in this transaction, and I don't want to be in this transaction. And the only reason I'm in it is because somebody with a gun has said, you're either in this transaction or you're dead.
Or you're out.
You're out. You know, I'm out like the Chinese guy.
Exactly.
You know, head off, whatever, jail, something. So that, I mean, it's stunning to me that people don't realize the power.
They trust that third party. He's a good guy.
Well, I was talking to Ms. Jimmy about this the other day, and she actually said, well, you know, you have these people, you can elect stupid, dumb, ignorant people can elect the best people. I'm thinking, but they don't. I mean, they elect people like themselves. Well, you can look around and...
Well, freedom is not being able to vote your ruler. That's what they need to understand. Just because you get to choose who's your master,
right,
does not mean that you do not have a master.
Right.
You
know, no, that's exactly right. And, of course, I have heard many times, I've talked with people when we have elections here locally, I've had people come up and say, well, who are you voting for? And I'm voting for either some no-name candidate, like the Libertarian candidate or somebody else. And they said, well, you're throwing away your vote. You need to vote for one of the top two. You know, vote for the lesser of two evils. I said, it's still an evil. I'm not voting for it.
Yeah, eventually people will come around.
They have to. Well, again, the truth will rear its ugly head at some point in time. And it's actually not its ugly head. The truth is beautiful, as far as I'm concerned. And it will smite those who have decided.
My truth will beat up your truth.
That's exactly right. Well,
your falsehood.
Your falsehood. And it will always do that. So Jimmy will be broadcasting from Honduras in the future.
Right.
Jimmy's going to take a month off. Did I mention this? Jimmy's taking a month.
Hey, because drug flight surge in the Caribbean?
Drug flight surge, that's right. I was just going to bring that up. I thought this would be a great time to go down there. Drug flight surge in the Caribbean en route to the U.S. Not in Honduras, but it says the problem in the last 2 years is the amount of narcotics arriving in this country, in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. Has increased exponentially. Boy, what a surprise that is. About 10% of the I love the way they get these statistics. I'm wondering, you know, how the hell do you figure this stuff out? If you know, 10% of U.S.-bound cocaine is now shipped through Hispaniola, which is the Dominican Republic, as you know, and Haiti, which is like, I don't know what Haiti is. Haiti's like
hell.
Exactly. Well, it reminds me of Haiti is like, what was the one where they had the kids, Lord of the Flies? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what Haiti is a definition, is a bad definition of anarchy. And I use that mm-hmm. in a bad way because we've talked about this before. When Stefan Molyneux talks about anarchy, it actually is a good thing. I'm not going to get into that right now. Many of these drug flights come from Venezuela, carrying Colombian cocaine. The Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez outlawed.
I love this. Hugo.
He outlawed U.S. anti-drug.
Stop it.
Outlawed U.S. anti-drug air patrols over his country 2 years ago because he accused the DEA agents of spying. Well, they were.
They entered the market, man.
That's right. corruption all over the place. The Dominicans have received more than 1,000 kilos or 1 metric ton, I love this, of drugs so far this year. I don't know if you know what that is, but that's like, I did that in my, you know, my senior year in college. Hey, no problem. You know that. Gun. Hey, sorry.
Yeah, I take an MT. He wants an MT. And then,
I mean, you know, hello.
An MT.
So,
a metric ton. Because we got to be homecoming.
Hey, done. You know, it's all here. No problem. Yeah. Still behind last year's pace when Dominican Republic agencies estimated 5 metric tons of cocaine, which was what the fraternity did. Okay, so anyway,
officers.
That's right. But anyway, the point is that they're not getting crap. They're not getting any. The stuff is sailing in here like anything. So Jimmy's going to go down to Honduras and watch the planes come fly over, and for a month of learning Espanol and
fish for square grouper.
That's right, square grouper. Well, they said a lot of this stuff. Apparently, the Dominican Republic they've got some like I don't know, a couple of speedboats with 40 horsepower Mercuries or something.
Right,
like.
That's their
navy.
And they got a couple of Hueys that don't allow them to go more than 5 miles off the coast.
And they can't fly at night.
Right, can't fly at night, no night vision.
Because they might not get back to land if they go more than 5 miles out and so forth. So anyway, basically, the smugglers.
It's a free trade zone.
Yeah, that's right. they have their GPS set for 6 miles out. End of story. So they go out there.
Patrolled by Outrigger.
So they go out there and drop the stuff off. And the cigarette boats race all over the place, and that's it. So it's good. I'm glad to see. I mean, I'll be glad to see when the price comes down here in the country locally. we can maybe can afford some donations.
We'll be doing a lot more shows then.
That's right.
See, pretty much
they tend to get a little louder.
Right. Well, I'll just have to slow them all down.
Might have to actually slow the show down.
That's right. So anyway, so Jimmy's going to take probably the last 2 weeks in August and the first 2 weeks in September.
We'll have reruns.
I'm going to see if I can call in. I did check and I found out they do have high speed internet, but I don't know. Down, I found out in Guatemala, high speed is like twice dial up.
Guatemala.
So I don't know what it is in Honduras.
This is Honduras, yes.
Honduras.
So we'll find out. Anyway, we have some contacts down there. We're going to have some fun. So anyway, that's what I've got.
Okay.
Oh, we got some strange news for sure, don't we?
We got light notes.
We got light notes.
Yeah.
I got one.
We got Crazy Frog. Crazy Frog.
Do we have a light note music?
I don't know, man. I had it around here somewhere, man.
Just edit your own music in here now.
Yeah,
that's right. Dear listener, enter in your own
play
music.
Some,
that's right.
You know,
anything
click over to your iPod.
That's right. Switch
other
over.
Setting.
Just for
play your favorite song and then
come back. Yeah, there we go. And then we'll have it. So.
I did have it somewhere around.
We're looking here's the news.
That's as much as we can stall for.
Al Gore's son arrested on suspicion. Did you hear about this?
Oh my! Didn't we talk about this last time?
We emailed back and forth because we had an email from our South American correspondent on this one as well.
Suspicion of some kind of drugs.
Yes, suspicion of drugs. Apparently, they caught him going 100 miles an hour in his Prius, and he had
bullshit.
He had marijuana and Valium on him. Among
I think he had
things.
Vicodin, too.
Okay.
Sweet.
Well, so he had prescription drugs with no prescription.
Oops. Daddy's stuff.
Right, exactly.
That's right, daddy's stuff. He had lots of Viagra.
Yeah. Well, and then so Jimmy, you're calling bullshit on this story?
Prius, no, 100 miles an hour?
That's right. Yeah, no Prius can go 100 miles an hour.
Right off the bat, you got a problem.
Yeah, and well, also, if you're on Valium and pot, you can't drive over about 15 miles an hour.
That's right.
No, you saw his youngest daughter, Al Gore's youngest daughter, was just married, too. So that right. Need a little entertainment news. So.
Who cares?
He was a distraction for the wedding. He was drawing the paparazzi off. Is that what
that's
it was?
Right, that's right.
So anyway, but he's going to get off or what?
Yeah, I imagine his dad's connected.
Okay, and he's like, how old is he? 30 or something?
Something like that. I think.
Yeah, I mean he's on up there, and but his carbon footprint is small with the Prius.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
He's trying to make it. Maybe he's buying some credits from his dad or something.
That's right. you hear about this pilot here? You hear about this one here? Yeah, lined up with the runway. Check. Yeah, engine speed. Yeah, check. Yeah, landing gear. Oh, forgot to put the landing gear down. You hear about this one in Kentucky?
That happens all the time.
It happens all the time?
Oh, yeah. That's
especially in Kentucky.
No, I'm telling you. No, let me tell you, one of the things that I did find, when I was learning how to...
Took it all the way through the landing.
It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Let me tell you something. I thought it was interesting. When I was learning how to fly, this is several years ago, a friend of mine was standing out by the... He just let his a friend of his do solo. So he's standing out by the runway, and as he's... as he watches this plane come in, a twin engine plane, watching it come in, and it didn't have its gear down. And he's waving at it and everything, because it's on the side of the runway. And as he said, as the plane went by him, still up in the air, like 2 feet before it actually hit, he could hear through the cockpit, he could hear the buzzer saying that indicated his gear wasn't down. The guy was, I mean, that's what happens. I can tell you from flying, that when you have those all those enunciators and buzzers and everything like it helps to have a co-pilot to say, did you really check? I mean, you can literally, you can listen to that damn buzzer and watch the flashing light, and you're concentrating on landing the plane, and you just don't even think about it. So anyway, what was interesting about this particular landing, just to continue, just to finish the story for our listeners who really want to know, the landing was so perfect that the only thing he had was bed props.
Dang.
Yeah, a little scrape on the belly.
I love that story that Rod Machado told when he was he flagged down the guy that was on the taxiway, and he goes, "Buddy, you know you can't take off. You've got a tow hook on the front of your airplane. You know one of those hooks that you pull the plane out with a big long
right the tow bar.
Tow bar." And he goes, "Take off. We just landed."
Oh my God.
And then the other one, and he goes, I'd like to take off, but there's a rabbit on the runway. And the air traffic controller goes, "A rabbit 454, you are cleared for takeoff." Cessna 254, you just be what is it?
When the rabbit clears the runway, you're cleared.
Yeah, when the rabbit clears the runway, please be advised of wake of departing rabbit.
Departing rabbit wake, yeah.
So I thought you guys would have called this one about NASA. You see this? They just, we got another launch coming up here, like August 8th or something that, right? Mm-hmm. They're getting at its Endeavor this time. So, they run through all the bells and whistles. They whoop it out. They, big sign comes out. They misspelled Endeavor.
No way.
Yeah, on the official sign.
Oh, on the sign, not on the patches, I hope.
No, just on the big Go Endeavor, the big ceremonial banner. 45 by 85 banner.
I love it.
Go NASA.
Reminds me.
I wonder if they check the fuel baskets this time.
Right. Do they know how to spell NASA?
I'm not sure.
Did they check the landing gear?
Why don't you glue everything together?
One of the funniest signs. We're talking about big banners. When I was watching one of my favorite movies is The Commitments, and they were against heroin. Only they spelled it heroin.
The girl.
Did you see that one guy? We had another lawn chair balloon launcher.
Yes. And that was for now. The other guy was like 15 years ago or something, right?
Yeah. This guy took off from Bend, Oregon.
He was trying to make it to Idaho.
Yeah, he's trying.
But he had it right. He had like 4 foot.
Probably
balloons.
One of Cayman's friends.
Huh? Wouldn't doubt. I mean, he came from a state that begins with an I, right?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah, he had 105 balloons of various colors, each about 4 feet around, bundled together. And, he went through this whole,
branding gear check.
Yeah, exactly. I did like it was the, an airline that flew by. And they were like, I don't know, 19,000. Oh, no,
he went up to 13,000 feet.
Yeah, 11,000 feet.
11,000, okay.
Yeah.
He had to get over some mountain.
Right.
The Rockies out there or something. He had to get over some mountain.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, but the airline was, they were like, there's a guy flying out here with balloons and a gun.
He's a terrorist. Shoot him down.
That's right. Right. Shoot him down. Right. Send the stinger after him.
So speaking of the Rockies, I'm surprised the hangar dogs didn't pick up this one in Colorado here. Cannon City, Colorado, a military unit during a routine jump here. Paratroopers land inside the perimeter of a Colorado state prison.
Whoa!
Fully armed,
Oh, man.
All of them said no.
Boy, incident. That's almost a recipe for disaster.
You think?
Woo!
I don't know. Yeah, they're happy to see him no matter what. Right? Either it's fresh meat or they're going to bust you out, right?
You'd be thinking it was
look at all the pretty boys.
You'd think
Luthor busting out of there.
Well, either that or you'd be thinking they're in there to eliminate everybody in the place because you got some disease. Instead of sending off the big, what are the gas bomb that they use?
Right.
Something they decide to just come in and just machine gun everybody. You don't know this, but you all are sick.
Woo! Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I didn't have a whole bunch of. We've done well. Yeah,
we've done well.
It's all pretty good. I did like there is apparently a new robotic air attack squadron bound for Iraq.
Whoa!
And these things are like four times heavier than the Predators. They're 36 feet long with a 66 foot wingspan.
Holy, so that's big.
Yeah, I mean they're kind of comparable.
Are they jet powered?
They're turboprop powered.
Turboprop. Okay, so they can be shot down.
They can be shot down, I'm sure, but they do fly pretty high.
Well, they can get up. Turboprops can get up to 30,000 or 40,000 feet.
Yeah.
Especially since you don't have to pressurize
them. Actually, it said it can reach 50,000.
Yeah, you don't have to pressurize them.
Right. And yeah, exactly. You
don't hardly any humans on board.
Hardly any. And but it's got a ton of ton and a half of guided bombs and missiles. I just like the name of it. It's called the Reaper.
Could you imagine?
And it's don't fear the Reaper.
I'd love to put the paint job on
so
that.
So this
baby
is great. You know, when you get a new job, you know, you start selling pizza, whatever. You sell, you know, sell insurance. You sell furniture. You know, usually your parents might come down there. They might be your first, you know, your first client.
Right.
Give you your first money. Well, in this case, it wasn't such a good thing because this girl down here in Florida, an art director, Laura Davis, just got a new job as a funeral director. and just to help her out, it turns her father decided to go ahead and get stabbed and killed in bed the night before, and was her first client.
By her mother?
I don't know. It turned out to be her first client.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. So who stabbed Daddy?
They don't know. I mean, this
not
was
Mommy.
Not Mommy. No, no. He was fatally stabbed. This was
Boy, that's like my neighborhood right there.
Yeah, this was part of an awful coincidence also.
I would think I'm not so sure I'd be wanting to embalm my father.
Hey, gotta make sure he lasts, you know?
A little extra
juice in him.
In four billion years, you're gonna be constituent atoms anyway.
So. Right.
All right, well, listen, that was great fun.
Yeah.
Love it. I wanted to say congratulations to Brian May on getting his... Brian May from Queen.
Guitarist, Queen.
Yeah, he just got his doctorate in physics after completing his thesis 33 years later after dropping out of graduate study.
Nice!
Because Queen was doing pretty decent back then.
You think? I love Queen. Didn't they do Flash Gordon?
Yeah.
I love the Flash Gordon.
They're unbelievable.
Oh, my God. That was the best.
Flash!
So he got his doctorate in physics. So congratulations,
that's awesome,
Brian. Yeah, that was pretty dang good.
And today, we'll do a show when Jimmy gets back from
K-Fed. I wonder if he actually went back to school, though, and got hanging. Yeah,
No.
He's smart.
Yeah, he's smart.
He's going back to check out all the 19-year-olds. He's no fool.
Man, I wonder if he got. Is he married? I wonder if he got some college tang when he was there.
You think?
Man, he's gay. He might be gay.
He's not gay.
You wonder if
it's Freddie.
Freddie. Can you? Let me put it this way.
So he was checking out all the
time. Let me put it this way.
Yes.
He got
see some. Rebecca Romaine Stamos now is Jerry O'Connell's woman. Jerry, that was the guy from Show Me the Money. Show me the money. You don't know.
No.
Cuba Gooding?
Cuba Gooding.
Jerry O'Connell was the other guy.
No, that was Tom Cruise.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what he said. Okay, Jack.
We can edit that out.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
That's history.
That's the genius of the podcast.
That's right. We edit out the smoke.
I'm just going to delete this whole track.
Hey, go out and have some ice cream. Today is National Ice Cream Day.
National Ice Cream Day.
Ronald Reagan.
By the time it hits the air,
probably won't be. But
you have it anyway.
Jimmy says ice cream.
Huh?
Jimmy says it's okay.
Get a big stick.
Jimmy says.
Get a big stick, man. Bye-bye.
Woo!
Thanks for listening to part two of the July 15th, 2007 Jimmy Dunn Podcast. Make your workout fly by listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. We'll be right back.
working on you, baby. I got that mojo, baby. Yeah.
Jimmy Doan is better than a cold shower.